Torah Way, Northwest London, Erev Shabbos Parsha Yisroi, Chof Gimel Shvat, the 5th of February, Harav Mordechai Weisschlitter, Parsha Yisroi.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As usual, I start off by thanking the organizers, especially Reb Dudi and Reb Josh, for giving me the opportunity to be part of this wonderful Torah Way. It's a schus every single time. It's a special privilege, and I always look forward to it. And Be'ez Hashem, for many, many more years, we'll be able to be part of it. This week's topic, the title of today's shiur I'd like to give is building up our self-esteem. This week's parasha says, "Ve'yizem ba'atum shomer teshmi'i bekoili." If you will listen to my voice, to my calls, what the Rebbein Shalom is telling Klal Yisrael, l'shma'otem esperisi, ve'yizem li sigilu mikolu amen. You will be the sigula mikolu amen. The Rashi says sigula means my treasure, you will be my treasure, my favorite treasure, Skidas Meluchim, that I put away in my special safe, you will be my favorite treasure. And the Pusik concludes, Ki li kol ha'uretz, because the whole entire world belongs to me. Now, it's very interesting, and Rashi already points it out, that it seems to be that the end of the Pusik has no connection to the beginning of the Pusik. The Pusik starts off to say that you will be my favorite, my treasure, and then the Pusik finishes off because the whole world belongs to me. What does one have to do with the other? So Rashi gives one mahalach. And then a few Pusikim later, after he finishes saying all these things, and the Pusik continues, V'atam tirim amleches kana v'gekudesh, you will be the nation of the princes, and you will be the holy nation. And the Pusik finishes off, and the Rebbein Shimon tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Aina had gurim masha tedaber abnai Yisrael." These are the words that you should tell Klal Yisrael. And Rashi says, "Lepuchas v'leyoyse." These are the words you should tell Klal Yisrael. So there seems to be pushup shat that in these psikim here there is a message which is extremely, extremely important for the Kabbalah Satoire. Now, before Kabbalah Satoire, these words, these psikim that we just mentioned now, "V'hiyisam miskilum mekalav amen, tiyalim amelechas kanav gekudesh." This is an important message, which is to prepare us for the Kavodas HaTorah. To a certain extent, the Torah says, this is all you have to tell Klal Yisrael, lepuchas v'leyoyse, they don't have to hear anything else. Once they know this message, then they're prepared for Kavodas HaTorah. What message is it in this psikim that is so important for the Indian of Kavodas HaTorah? This past week, I think it was on Sunday, I had a great uncle who passed away. He was called Rabbi Doctor Abram J. Twersky. He was my grandfather's brother. He's probably one of the greatest from Jewish psychiatrists, perhaps even the greatest from Jewish psychiatrist of our generation. He, to a certain extent, was probably the first. He made a revolution. He brought in the whole thing of mental health into the from world, and he made a revolution throughout his life. He saved countless families, and he changed the lives of countless people, thousands of people perhaps. He set up centers primarily to deal with people who were addicts, all different types of addictions. He helped them get out of their addictions and to get back to their own feet. He authored over 80 books throughout his lifetime, many, many of them world-famous books. He composed songs. He was a very, very extremely talented person. He passed away this past week. I heard an interview, and they interviewed him a couple of years ago, and they asked him the following question. They said, throughout the years, you have dealt with many, many hundreds and thousands of people, and you've helped them out with mental health. If you would have to point out and say in one sentence, what is the primary cause for almost all the difficulties that people have in mental health, whether depression, and all that reasons why people are so addicted to all different types of addictions. If you could trace it down to one thing, what would you say is the one most biggest cause of all these things? So he said, and he said, said the following, if I could trace it down to one thing, it is low self-esteem. It says people who are low self-esteem, that is the primary cause to all these issues. Because when a person is down, then a person is not satisfied. He hasn't got a feeling of satisfaction, then he's depressed. And if he's depressed, he has to go and find satisfaction in other places. And if he goes, has to find in other places, he starts with all different types of addictions. And he's unhappy, then he's not productive. And if he's not productive, he's not successful. That basically is the cause of all other things. And someone asked him, how did you have time throughout your life? You were such a busy person. How did you have time to author over 80 books? So he said the following answer. He said, in truth, I authored one book. I wrote one book and I just wrote it in 80 different ways. He said, the one message which goes across every single one of my books is this thing, this theme of low self-esteem and building up your self-esteem. And obviously, he showed how to do that on Pitoire, is to build up one's self-esteem. And he said, if he has to give a message to the world in order to change the world and make it into a better place, this would be the message. Make sure to be aware of your self-esteem. And make sure if you notice within yourself that you have a lack of self-esteem, you're not comfortable within yourself, you're not happy within yourself, you're not comfortable in your own skin, then make sure to build up your self-esteem. So the question is, obviously, how could we build up the self-esteem? And then, more importantly, or maybe not more importantly, but equally important is when we bring up children, how are we able to build up the self-esteem of our children? That's going to be the question I'd like to approach today. So I'd like to divide into two parts. First, I'd like to talk about the part of bringing up children, how are we able to build up the self-esteem of our children, and then we'll go over to how are we able to build up our own self-esteem. So the answer, how are we able to build up the self-esteem of our children, is, I'd like to start off with an interview I heard recently with probably one of the greatest chinuch experts in today's generation. He's called Reb David Levy, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's a very, very extremely famous person. And he said the following thing. He said he has dealt with thousands of children and all different problems, and he noticed a very, very interesting phenomenon. He said he had two children. One of them came from a family who was a very disciplined family and quite harsh. The parents were not easy with the kids. They were very, very disciplined, like old-timers, old-time parents. And the second child came from a family that was much more relaxed, much more easygoing, and much more easy with the kids. Now, he was sure that the kids that come up from the first home will not do well in school, because if you're too disciplined, you always know, it's one of the things that we know in the nowadays generation, that it's not always the best thing to stand with a stick on top of your child's head and every time there's something wrong, knock him down. So he was sure that this first child is not going to be successful, whereas the second child, who comes from a much more easygoing home, will obviously do a lot better. But the funny thing was that it was the other way around. The first child did very, very well and excelled in all of his studies, whereas the second child did not do as well as the first child. So he said he had to find out what is the secret. Why is it that the first child was doing so much better than the second child, whereas in the time when the first one came from a much more strict home, much less easygoing home, and the second one was from an easygoing home. So he said he went through it and decided to interview the parents and to try and find out what goes on inside the home. And he found out this following thing, and for him that was a revolution. He said the first home, they were very disciplined, and they disciplined the children and were very strict with the timetable, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. But at the same time, the parents made sure to respect the children and to admire the children and to believe in the children and to constantly give them compliments to say how successful they are and how much we love them. Whereas the second home, although they were very easygoing, but they never really pointed out how much they admire, how much they respect, how much they believe in the children. And that was, he came to the conclusion that it has nothing to do with if you do that discipline your children, whether you are strict, whether you're not strict. It all boils down to one point. If the child feels that he is being respected, that he is admired, that the parents believe in him, he will excel and he will do well. Whereas if he hasn't got that feeling that he hasn't got the feedback from the parents, that the parents believe in him, that the parents believe that he is successful, that he's good, he will not do so well. I once heard a very interesting, very good story from my grandmother. My grandmother, she is Rebbetzin Feige Twersky. She's a world-famous speaker, a very, very successful woman. She's been the carer of hundreds of people. She's written many books, and she writes a weekly article in the Ami. A very successful person. And someone once asked her this question. He says, what is it? What's your secret to success? How can you be so productive in life and so successful in life? So she said the following anecdote that happened to her when she was a little child. And she said the following thing. She was a daughter of a Holocaust survivor, the parents of a Holocaust survivors. Her parents were extremely loving people, and for them, the children meant everything. The children meant the world. Because they survived the Holocaust, and because of his biggest revenge that he could revenge in Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, was the fact that to bring another Jewish child into the world. And the children by them meant everything. He used to go around, my great-grandfather, the Falter Chan Rebbe, used to go around with a list of every single one of his children, and Einiklich, and Ireinlich. Whenever he had another child, another Einikl, for him that was the biggest simcha. He believed in his children. He said there was one thing in particular which stood out. She remembers being a little child of maybe perhaps 8 or 9, and she was lying in bed, and they were living in a small apartment, so whenever the parents spoke on the telephone, if the child was not asleep, he was able to eavesdrop on whatever conversation was going on. He was extremely close, her father, who was a Falter Chan Rebbe, was extremely close with the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, Reb Motle. He is the Vizhnitzer Rebbe of London here, his father. They were very extremely close already from childhood, they were very the same age, and they used to talk almost every single day, they used to talk on the telephone. She remembers at one occasion, her father was sure that she was already sleeping, her father had no idea that she was listening and she was eavesdropping. She remembers lying in bed, and she heard her father talking to the Vizhnitzer Rebbe remotely about the children. I think I have such wonderful children. But my child, this Feige, she is something special. All my children are all special, but Feige, she is something special. That was herself, and she was lying in bed. She heard that. That was the end of the conversation. He said, to this very day, we're talking about 60, 70, 80 years later, to this very single day, whenever she feels down with herself, these words still ring in her ears. There's no one like my Feige. And he says, these are the words which keep her going. And the reason, if she would have to say why her secret to success, it's those words which are ringing in her ears, because her father said, there's no one like my Feige. So this is something, there's a famous saying, people have these little magnets on the fridges, it has all different sayings. There's one of the sayings I once saw, is, to the world, you are a someone. And to someone, you are the world. Which a parent gives the child the feeling that, to me, you are worth the world, you are the world, then that's the biggest thing you could give a child, that builds up the child's self-esteem. The child feels that there's someone who loves them, someone who believes in them, someone who admires them, someone who respects them, then the child is going to be productive, he's going to be successful in his life. Now to the next question. How could they build up your own self-esteem? So we spoke about building up your child's self-esteem. How could they build up your own self-esteem? And the answer to that is, that really the fact is, if a person would be in a position that people admire him and people believe in him, then he himself obviously would believe in himself. People know that he's got tens of thousands of followers who admire him and every single word he says is by them. And obviously that's a good recipe for self-esteem. But not everyone has the privilege of having thousands of people, thousands of followers who follow them and who admire them. So I'd like to mention this following story I recently saw. He said, there was a yid that came into a clinic, someone in this room. I'm sitting by the doctor's clinic, sitting on a bench. And an old man comes in and sits down next to him. And, he's minding his own business, this person sitting next to him. Doesn't give him much attention. And this old man seems to be in the mood of having a good talk. Someone says, you know who I am. So he says, no, who are you? He said, my name is Naftali Green. Okay, fine, nice to meet you. Do you know, he says, this old man continues on, do you know that the whole world holds of me? The whole world holds of me. So this conversation is getting a little bit interesting. So he says, really? Is that, yeah, really? He said, yeah, the whole world, so let me tell you one thing. Have you ever heard of Reb Chaim Kanievsky? He says, of course I've heard of Chaim Kanievsky. I haven't heard of Chaim Kanievsky. So he says, let me tell you something. I was roommate with Reb Chaim Kanievsky when he was in yeshiva. I was his roommate a couple of years ago. I came into B'nai Brak, the time Reb Chaim Kanievsky is a good ladok. I came into B'nai Brak, and I come into Reb Chaim Kanievsky and went to visit my old friend, my old roommate. And I come in and he says, Chaim, well, do you recognize me? So I talk to him a few minutes. He says, no, who are you? He said, you don't remember me? I'm Naftali Green. He says, oh, and he gives him a big smile, a big shake. Naftali, how are you doing? What's doing? How's your life going? What are you doing in your life? And we caught up with the thing. And I told Chaim Kanievsky, I said, you know, it's so interesting, you know, Aholem Hofech Reisi, it's so interesting. We started off at the same station, both two roommates in the same room. And here you are at the top of the world, the whole entire world holds of you. And I'm a nobody, nobody think nobody knows of me, nobody holds of me. And I wasn't really complaining, but you know, I was just stressing this point, the fact, the interesting thing that turned out, that he turned out to be the big brother Don, I was just nobody. Chaim Kanievsky looks at me, and he says, and he gives me a smile, he says, it's not true. He says, the whole world holds of you. So I said, really? He said, yeah. Because you have to understand that the whole world holds of me, and I hold of you. So Mamayle, the whole world holds of you. Because that's the way it works. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Yeah, if the whole world holds of me and I hold of you, then the whole world holds of you. So he turns to this fellow with the clinic, you see? I was right. The whole world holds of me. That's the end of the story. What's the message of the story? The message of the story is, not everyone has thousands of people who admire him and respect him. But everyone who's the most respected being in the world, that is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The most respected and admired being in the world is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And every one of us believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We think of the Ribbono Shel Olam constantly, day in, day out, we think of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, who everyone believes in him, he believes in us. He says, you are my chosen nation. You, every single individual, you are my chosen nation. I believe in you. I admire you. I respect you. And I constantly think about you. You are my most precious jewels. You are my crown jewels. You are my most precious possessions. Now, if the person understands that the one, the being who everyone respects and everyone believes in, he believes in you and he thinks about you, this is... then that means that the whole world believes in you. And if the person understands the whole world believes in me, then there's no limit to what you could do. That is the best recipe for building up your self-esteem and knowing that you could be successful at whatever you do. And it's an interesting thing to note that whenever we go all these places in the davening that we mentioned, the fact that the Rebbe Shlomo gave us the Torah, all starts off with this introduction that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose us from all the nations. So we say, let's say, for example, Nahavu Rabu, we say, Ibuni Bukhartu Mikol Am Belushon, and you chose us from all the other nations, V'kairatuni Makayna David Seichu. Why is this an introduction to V'kairatuni Makayna David Seichu? And the answer is because as long as a person has a low self-esteem and he doesn't believe in himself, he will not be productive, he will not be successful. And how could he take upon himself to be Makayim 613 mitzvahs? It's virtually impossible. But if the person internalizes this message that no, the entire world believes in me, the Ribbono Shel Olam chose me from all of his nations, then there's no limit and anything could be done and I could be successful at whatever I do because I know there's someone that believes in me. We say Bakiddush, we say the same thing, Asher Kiddushuni b'mitzvayisov, v'rutzuhuni, the Ribbono Shel Olam chose me. A person once told me, went on the street in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a famous tzaddik in Yerushalayim who is called Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, one of the biggest tzaddikim in our generation. And he's a person who did not have an easy life, to say the least. And he sees Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter walking down the street, and it was Friday night, and he is walking with his family, with his kids, and he thinks to himself, you know, he didn't have much nachas with his kids. Some of his kids were not completely normal, they were ended up in different homes. He had a very, very difficult family he had. And he thinks to himself, you know, here I am, I'm going home to my family, I'm going to be surrounded by my wife and my kids. And you know, unfortunately, you know, what does he have to look forward to? He's going home to his own home, there's nothing there. And Rebbe Meir Shechter comes, crosses the road, and he greets him with a big, huge smile, and he says, do you know that I am the most privileged person in the universe? He says, really? He says, what do you mean? I'm going to come home now, and I'm going to say Kiddush, and I'm going to say the words, Asher Kiddushuni b'mitzvayisov v'rutzuvuni. The Ribbono Shel Olam chose us from all the other thousands and millions upon people in the world. He chose us to be his chosen nation. These words, there's no bigger thing than that, to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose us from all the other nations. That's an interesting Gemara in Brochus. The Gemara in Brochus says, Lachid Aleph. The Gemara says the Berchus HaTayre. What's the Berchus HaTayre? We say every morning, Berchus HaTayre. So there's different Berchus HaTayre. The one of the Brochus is Ashe Nusa Nuni Tayre's Emes, and we say that in Vaharev. That's the first one. And then the next one is Ashe Bucha Buni Mekalawame. So the Rebamina says, the machloek is which one should we say, and the Gemara concludes that we say all of them because we're not sure which one we should say, so we say all of them. But the Rebamina says, Ashebucha buni, this is the Berchus HaTorah, and he finishes off with an interesting line. He says, Zihi me'ile sheve bruchas, this is the best of all the bruchas that we could say. The best of all the bruchas is the bruchas Ashebucha buni mekolam v'nusanu niyasterus. Why is this better than the bruchas v'harav? No? I mean, all the bruchas are good. Why is this brucha more than that? The answer is because this brucha brings out Ashebucha buni mekolu amim. If the person sees that the Rebbe Shlomo chose him from all other nations, then he could do anything. Then he could be mekabel the Torah and he could be mekayim all the mitzvahs. People ask the following question. They ask, okay, the Rebbe Shlomo believes in me, and he respects me and he admires me. But why? I know myself better than anyone else. I know that there's absolutely nothing to admire about me. There's nothing to love me for. I have nothing to offer. What am I? I've made so many mistakes in my life. I did so many errors in my life. You're saying that eventually he believes in me and he respects me and he admires me? Why? I don't see any reason for that. The answer to that is because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he created you. And there's no one that knows the creation as well, as good as the person who created it himself. If a person created a certain machine, invented a certain machine, no one will know that machine as well as the person who created it himself. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam created us. He created us, and for some reason, we may not know why he respects us and why he admires us. But the fact that he created us, and still he believes and he admires us, that is a proof. Without knowing why, that is a proof that there's something special about us, and obviously that could be traced down to our neshama that we all have. We have neshama, we have a chaylik of the kami mal. Every single Jew has a neshama, no matter what he did in his life, he always has a neshama, which is part of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, every single day, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I want to think about Klal Yisroel, and not only do I want to have Klal Yisroel in front of me, I'm going to be koyshe the Klal Yisroel amai, kviyochul, so to speak. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam puts on tefillin every single day, and in the tefillin matcha kodesh buruch yimai ksiv by mi ka'am chiyisroel, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to constantly remember one and only thing, the Klal Yisroel. That brings out and that shows us how much the Rebbeinu Shel Olam believes in us. Now, even though we may not know why that is a fact, but we have to understand that there is something about us which is extremely special, and there's a reason why we deserve to be loved and to be admired and to be respected, regardless of what we did throughout our life. We are deserving to be respected. Could be this is the pshat of the pusik. The pusik brings out the mention we're going to give to Klal Yisroel the Torah. So he has to give us an introduction. How are we able to accept upon ourselves 630 mitzvahs? It's virtually impossible. So the Torah says, remember this one and only message. You will be the crown jewels. You will be my most prized possession. I've chosen you from all the other nations. You will be my jewelry. And the Pusik finishes off, because if the entire world is mine, and the entire world believes in me and admires me and respects me, and I in turn believe in you and I respect you and I admire you, then that means the entire world respects you and the entire world believes in you, and therefore there's nothing, there's no limit to what you could achieve. You could succeed in everything you do and you can be successful in anything you do. And the Pusik finishes off, this is the only message you have to know. If you will internalize this message and constantly go around remembering this one and only thing, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam believes in me, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam respects me, he admires me, then there is no limit how much we could achieve. I once heard an interesting story. I'm not sure, but I haven't seen it recently, but I heard it a long time ago. And the story goes as follows. There was a boy, there was a child, probably was a teenager, and he excelled in football. That was his thing, and he was very, very good at football. And I'm not sure whether he was from a religious home, non-religious home, but he got bigger and bigger in this thing, and he became a better and better player, to the point that he started playing in national games, playing football against different countries, and of course he was very, very well respected. And he had every person that goes into this field has a supervisor, who is his, he's the one that he trains him, his trainer, he's the one that trains him to his thing, And of course he gives them, you know, he tells them what he did wrong, and he gives them chizik to improve. And he, this young boy, he was very extremely good at what he did, and every game mamash he played wonderfully. There was one occasion that there was a game, and they played the game, and after the game, this supervisor comes over to this young child, and he says, "My dear child, I've seen many, many games, I've seen you play many games, and you always played fantastic, you were one of the most best players. But the game that you played today, you played like never before. The way you performed in today's performance was something you never ever performed as good as this. Why? What did you do different? What was this time different to what you always did?" The child said the following answer. He says, "This very recently, he lost his parent. His father, he lost his father. He became an orphan, he became a yusum." He said, "Okay." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "Every single game that I performed until now, there were thousands of people watching. There was one person inside that was sitting there, that was my father. He sat there every single match that I played, he was always there within the audience, watching me and applauding me." He said, "Okay." He said, "We have to understand one thing, that my father was blind. My father was blind. He was never able to see me perform." He says, "Now my father passed away, and he is now in the world to come. This was the first time that I knew that my father is actually watching me, and he's applauding me, and he's watching me do every single move. That's why I outdid myself. Because when I know that there's someone standing behind me who is watching me and applauding me and respecting me and pushing me to move forward, then there's no limit. There's nothing that can stand in my way." This is a message a person has to remember constantly, that we have someone who's applauding us, we have someone who's respecting us, and someone who's moving us to go forward, and someone who believes in us, and that is the Ribbono Shelolem who says Keli Kaluretz. The Bais Haharan says, in the name of Reb Shloime Kaline, he says, the biggest avaira a person could do is to forget that we are princes, that we are children of the Ribbono Shelolem. The biggest avaira a person could do is to forget his identity, to forget who he really is, to forget that he is a son of the Ribbono Shelolem. And on the other hand, the same Bais Haharan finishes off with this following line, and with that I will conclude. He says, anyone who goes throughout the day and he's happy within himself, and he's happy within himself, he's comfortable within himself, knowing that he is a Yid, that he is a son of the Ribbono Shelolem, he says, Urayv ani beduvo. Urayv beduvo means, I promise you. I take upon myself, I promise you, Shaloy in aloy shimrat, and no bad will happen to him, loy begashmias v'loy berochmias. It's aftocha from the Heilige Bais Haharan. If a Yid goes around remembering this one message, that I am ki v'yisim li sigilu mekolo amim, I am the Ribbono Shelolem, most prized nation, the prized possession of the Ribbono Shelolem, then loy in aloy shimrat, no bad will befall him, loy begashmias v'loy berochmias. So the Ibish attack health, and we should internalize this message properly, and we should take be zoyche, that the kura be mine will be zoyche, to be a skor tzedek, and hayru be mine. Oh my God. Thank you.